This is In This League Overtime. Some of the best from Chris Welsh and Scott Bogman on the In This League Podcast Network. Now, it's time for OT.
Let's talk fantasy baseball. Very special ITL guest line today. One of the best in the business, one of our good friends, and a man that he owns Bogman. That's essentially what it is. It's Howard Bender, Roto Buzz guy. You can catch him over at Fantasy Alarm, of course. And you can see him hosting Fantasy Alarm on Sirius XM Monday through Friday. Can't get enough of that, of course. Howard, how are you? Are you doing as good as I'm doing right now?
Well, absolutely. If as good as you're doing right now is in anticipation of watching Bogman make himself sick, absolutely.
You know how stupid I am, by the way? I'm looking at my rankings.
How stupid are you?
I still have Tanaka over Keuchel. Why? Why would I do that? That's stupid.
I don't know. Because you're a masochist?
I guess. I don't know.
It makes me so happy. It was a great moment last time. I love when Bogman, he puffs up and then the bets come and then they, you know, they fail. Like, I lose bets to Bogman, but Bogman losing a bet to Guess, it's a beautiful thing. Howard, will you give a little synopsis breakdown to maybe the uninitiated on, like, your connection with Peeps and, like, how it goes down for you? Is it Easter that you do it? Just explain it for us.
So Easter Sunday. I grew up in a very Puerto Rican Dominican neighborhood. I was the lone Jewish kid in this sea of Latinos. And, you know, I used to go, all my friends, the girls I used to date, I used to go to their houses and you know, hang out with their families. And come Easter, now, I don't know if you guys have ever, like, had kosher chocolate that they, like, dole out to you at Passover. It sucks. I mean, you know, if you've ever had, like, the Hanukkah stuff with, like, the gold coins and, you know, you peel them open and you got kind of like a waxy chocolatey taste.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
oh, yeah.
So I that's how I, like, thought, you know, holiday chocolate used to taste until, you know, a friend of mine's mom made me an Easter basket. Wow. Just wow.
Whole new world, right?
And, you know, and I think it was, you know, she put Peeps randomly in there. She didn't give, like, they didn't have, like, the box of Peeps to give, you know, like the small, like, three packs that they serve right now. So she just scattered some Peeps into this, you know, green grass with the jelly beans and the chocolate bunny. And I guess it was the first time that I, like, bit into one that it was a little stale. So it was a little crunchy on the outside, yet still chewy, delicious on the inside. And I was absolutely in heaven. And and that was it for me. And Peeps were one of my favorite things. It was a nice Easter indulgent, and it got so gluttonous that I had to just limit myself to Easter Sunday, and that was it. So now I do Peeplepalooza, where on Easter Sunday I do nothing but eat Peeps all day long, and I try to break the record every year.
Is it an actual like Guinness record, or is it like record?
It's a personal, you know, you see all these guys on YouTube, like, you know, cramming 120 Peeps into their face and, you know, in like a 10-minute span. Those guys, they do it and then they end up throwing up.
Yeah.
Because you can't, you physically cannot put that much marshmallow into your body in such a short period of time.
Great.
So me, I'm built for comfort. I'm not built for speed. So I don't care about, you know, how short a time period it is. I like to savor and enjoy Peeps throughout my entire day. So for me, it's a 24-hour session.
You know, sometimes I'll call the Welsh stupid. But today he's very, very smart, because what this has done is make me even more nervous. So
yes,
I'm really happy about this. And you know, Welsh, you are sometimes a very, very smart man. And that was that was a way to go.
Bit.
So that was Howard. Can we go eat Peeps now? We don't even.
Well,
need
no,
to talk
well,
about
we got
baseball,
we got a whole interview to do. I mean, it is episode.
That. We can just eat Peeps, right?
It's very special. It's episode 200. It's our 200th episode. We've got, you know, one of the winners of 2017 FSTA Radio Show of the Year. One of my favorite people, Howard Bender. Well, it's a record, by the way. What is your personal record? Was it last year? Didn't you do like 180?
No. It's not that disgusting. It's disgusting, but it's not that. 137 right now is the personal record.
Wow. And do you think you're going to top it this year?
Yeah, everybody wants me to. You know, here's the problem is that it's April 1st. It's April Fool's Day. The night before is actually my wife and mine anniversary. So we always end up going out for like we go for a big steak dinner and stuff like that. So, I mean, I usually like to start at midnight, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to start at midnight this year just because I have all that steak in me there. And I don't know, meat and marshmallows. I don't really know if that mixes too well.
I don't know why. That needs to be someone's team name this year.
Maybe you will have to go for a little bit of speed next year.
Yeah, maybe. Please someone name their fantasy team name Meat and Marshmallows, because I think that would be fantastic. Well, in here just a little bit after we talk some fantasy baseball with our dear friend Howard Bender, we are going to flip it over to the YouTube channel where you guys can watch it. But, you know, if there are some highlights, we will play some highlights after that. So very glad to have you on, Howard. And the SiriusXM stuff has been going fantastic. Fantasy Alarm looks like it's going killer. You guys look like you are kicking ass and taking names this this draft season.
Yeah, we're really tearing it up. I mean, you know, adding Jim Bowden to the team, he came to us.
Yeah,
which
man.
Which was the best part about it, too, is that we were sitting here and we had just gone through a little transition over at Alarm, and I took over the show on SiriusXM in April. Yeah, it was like right at the start of the baseball season last year.
You know
year.
What, Howard? I don't know if you remember this. You came on the week after, like we had you scheduled for the week you started, and then you and I chatted, and you're just like, hey, let me just get through the first week. We had you on like the day after your first week taking over that. I remember.
Did I make any sense whatsoever?
You made completely. Yeah, you made a very smart bet. You were actually on your game, Howard.
Yeah, what was that bet? Can we just refresh? Like, I know that I won because you guys keep telling me.
It was 5x5 Keuchel versus Tanaka.
And yeah, Biden was Keuchel. Defending
Keuchel. You had Keuchel, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good for me.
You know what the best part is? Howard didn't even remember the f***ing bet. That's great.
Yep.
No, the best part is that I also owned Tanaka in, I think it was the SiriusXM Host League, and just got royally douched from him. And I guess, you know, deep down, it was just I was okay with it because I knew somewhere, somehow, there was goodness to come.
It's such a beautiful thing. God, I love it. I love it. Well, we'll have to hit up Howard for all his good connections because they are killing over at Fantasy Alarm and all the great stuff that he does, of course, and steal you as much as we possibly can. But let's get into it. We got some baseball to talk about, of course, because drafts are hitting up. And that's what kind of this episode is with the draft. Not just about episode 200 and Bogman eating peeps, even though that's probably 80% of the cum here. We're talking also just about some actual draft prep. You know, I pose this question as just a Tanaka one I put on our sheet, but let me ask you both ends of how about the guys, the men of the hour for Masahiro Tanaka and for Dallas Keuchel. How do you see these guys? You know, is Tanaka, like, let's call it a prime SB2? Is he better as a 3? Keuchel, for me, we just talked about this in a previous episode. Keuchel is the start of where I'm not comfortable as an SP1. Like, the pitcher before him is my last comfortable starting pitcher one. Keuchel is not an SP1. So what do you think about Keuchel and Tanaka, Howard?
I mean, listen, if you're building a pitching staff, then yeah, I rank Keuchel as an SP2, like top of the heap of the SP2s.
Yeah, he's number one for two.
And Tanaka for me, he's further down. He's he's probably late SP2, early SP3 at this point. I mean, obviously, we still have to worry about the partially torn UCL. Now, I know he's been able to plow through it, and everything seems to have been fine, but there are obviously issues that he is having. And he was so up and down the beginning of last season, and he never really found his center. So I still worry about him a lot, even though, you know, you're bringing in Sonny Gray for a full season here, and you know, Tanaka might not have the pressure or feel the pressure as much, but I mean, I'm still not fully comfortable with him. I love Keuchel. I love everything that he does. I love everything he brings to the table. That's a sexy, sexy ground ball rate, and I love a good, sexy ground ball rate. The injuries are just a little nerve-wracking there. The pinched nerve in his neck, it was a vertebrae thing, which, you know, I mean, they could fix it with surgery, which would knock him out for a really, really long time. So rest and rehab, chiropractic care. is going to help him. But, you know, I expect that he's going to miss some time at some point this season because it will crop up again. I still rank him ahead of Tanaka, though.
Do you have, what about shares on these guys? Do you, like, we're not going crazy on shares right now, but if you found yourself, I would even throw in, you do the fantastic, if people don't, you know, try to partake in it, the mock draft army, which Howard has been doing for a long time, is a great tool, and we've always been huge, you know, pluses on as many mock drafts as you can do as we do our mock draft episodes. Have you found yourself via mocks or via real drafts, even though you have Keuchel ahead, have you found yourself owning equal shares, more Keuchel shares, or maybe even not even getting either one of these guys?
Probably more Keuchel shares than Tanaka shares. But, you know, I mean, when it comes down to, I mean, and that's just from mock drafts. When it comes down to a real draft, I don't think I've housed either one of them yet. I've got a couple of more drafts still to go, so I'm not dead in the water with these guys. But yeah, the shares will probably be a little lighter this year than they were last year.
Bogman, you care to take a Tanaka Keuchel bet this year?
No, absolutely not. I'm not going to bet.
Sure?
On. Well, look, the reason that I took the bet is because I don't like Keuchel's health, and Howard already mentioned that. You know, he's got the pinched nerve, and it can flare up at any time. And it, you know, Tanaka kind of has the same thing with the UCL. I just kind of feel like if Tanaka was going to go out with the UCL injury, that it was already going to happen, and it hasn't happened. I feel like we're maybe not completely out of the woods, but now we're kind of out of the woods on that. So I'm actually with Howard. I don't think I've had shares of either one of these pitchers in any of my drafts yet.
I've been kind of targeting Tanaka, I think, a little bit just because I've had a Howard, have you found yourself at all finding any specific form of how you've been drafting this year as far as like I'm not typically taking starting pitching before probably the fifth round. And sometimes it's even been like I'll go 6-7, boom, boom. Maybe it's 5-6 and 5-7, but I don't find myself drafting pitchers in the top four. Are you trying to anchor yourself with, you know, even if I don't know who you consider elite, you know, as low as a Verlander, Granke, maybe a Darvish, or as high as like I got to get Syndergaard, Bumgarner, something like that?
There are times where I'll turn around. It depends on where I am in the draft. Like if I'm sitting there, if it's a 12 teamer and I'm at the tail end of the draft, I might just go hitter with one of the elite starters. You know, I mean, for me, if it's not going to be Kluber, Thor, Bumgarner, Sale, or Scherzer.
Kershaw.
Nah, I'm not even into Kershaw. You know, Kershaw dealing with the back issue, that's not going away either. You know, I mean, we know.
Are you
that
not
the,
into it because it's the first round? Or are you not into it because you'd rather have the other guys, even if you had the option at like 12 or 13?
It's actually both. Like I'll take if Scherzer and Kershaw are sitting there and I'm picking on the wheel, I would actually be more inclined to doing like a Scherzer Sale or a Scherzer Kluber double tap as opposed to grabbing Kershaw. Okay. Because yeah, listen, this is one of those situations where you look at it and you say, I'm trying to minimize my risk in the early rounds. Now, obviously every pitcher is at risk for an injury, but Kershaw has shown for the last 2 years that his back is not healthy. It will flare up on him, and he's not a lock to make 30 to 33 starts over the course of a full season. So because of that, I'm out, because it's already established that in the last two seasons. So that's kind of why I'm avoiding him for the most part. But, you know, again, like if one of those elite guys is available to me inside the you know, somewhere in the second or third round, never the first, but in second or third, then I'll grab one of those elite guys. If not, then I'll sit and I'll wait and I'll start building my pitching staff with Nola, Quintana, Keuchel, and, you know, and kind of pair up two second tier guys.
I like it.
What about the, you know, we're Arizona homers and we have talked to death about the humidor, but everybody seems to have a different type of opinion on it. So I just want to know, what kind of drop did you have on D-backs hitters due to the humidor, specifically Goldie?
Not really any. Like, I know I've looked at the numbers and I've looked in, you know, and everybody talks about 25% drop in power that happened in Coors. And now you're looking at Arizona where the humidity is less. So there could be even more of an effect on it. I get that. But you know what? Goldie's Goldie, and Goldie's raw power, just raw power. And the dude will rake no matter where he is, humidor or no humidor. I think he's fine. I haven't seen anything in his splits that, you know, indicates that being in Chase Field is the reason that he's hitting for so much power. He's just doing it anywhere. Guy like Jake Lamb, same thing. It's just pure raw power. But if you're talking about a guy like AJ Pollock or
Chris Owings or Ketel Marte,
right? Yeah, well, yeah, those big power hitters like Ketel Marte and
Souza. Souza's there now.
Nick Ahmed. Souza, you know, 30 home runs in Tampa Bay. So, again, I don't really downgrade him. Maybe he only hits 25 this year, but that's really all I'm really hoping for or expecting from Souza anyway. I don't expect him to crack the 30 home run barrier. So I think, if anything, it's just going to kind of benefit guys like Taijuan Walker, maybe Zach Godley.
Corbin.
Corbin's more of a ground baller, but, you know, I still think that, you know, it'll obviously help him a little bit too. Not enough that I'm like upgrading these pitchers to, you know, a round or two, but, you know, I'm also not downgrading all their hitters too much there. I'll wait and see what the data shows. But considering that
Zach, I didn't hear your name, by the way. There was a certain Zach that was left out of your mentions.
Granky.
Oh, geez, what's going on with this dude, right?
I know, but that we've been having a lot of conversation about overall, and we've been killing a little bit the velocity drop and just the overall issues. Maybe he's hiding stuff from the media, but then he's not going to be out for opening day. And I said it earlier, he's like kind of like this enigma power. He's one of these guys where he takes the benefit from the humidor, but the drop in velocity, the injury stuff, he seems to be counteracting whatever plus the humidor might have given pitchers.
In This League Overtime. Want more? Go to inthisleague.com.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
You're listening to In This League Overtime. Some of the best from the In This League Podcast Network. Find all their shows and more of what you've heard at InThisLeague.com.
Let's talk fantasy baseball.
Well, I was okay with the talk about the drop in velocity, and I thought he was being a little tongue-in-cheek when he said, I don't know, man, you know, I sit here and I worry about whether or not I've lost it. I mean, he said that, you know, because every year he starts off with a dip in velocity, and he's got to build himself up by the end of spring in order to do it.
Spring. Too.
Yeah, yeah. And everybody was like, oh, man, Greinke's done. Oh, I don't know if he's got it anymore. So I'm sure that some of that was tongue-in-cheek for him. So, you know, I wasn't all that concerned. But then, you know, I mean, just back-to-back sessions where it's just really he doesn't look comfortable right now when he's throwing. Yeah. And that's kind of the problem. So I don't know if it's just, you know, the poster boy for Zoloft is, like, suddenly wrapped up in his head again or – you know, is he just kind of, you know, is he really fighting through something that he's not really talking about?
Yeah, which probably has something to that. Moving along here, in you had a piece in the New York Post that I thought was really interesting. You were kind of talking, the whole focus was a little bit about like late shortstop power, maybe even a little middle infield. But it seemed like a lot of it was centered around Addison Russell as a late target. Yeah, can you talk about that? And I mean, people obviously should check out the article, but maybe you could talk a little bit about what's in there. That I haven't heard a lot of people talking about targeting a guy like Addison Russell, where more people seem to be avoiding because of the Cubs kind of quote unquote rotation they've got with multiple infielders, outfielders.
Yeah, but really, where's that rotation going to end up? I mean, you know, Bryant's locked in at third. I got that. Addison Russell's a natural shortstop. Defensively, he's better than anybody out there at the position. You've got Javi Baez. He's at second base. I mean, really, do we really think that the tandem of Alberto Almora and Jason Hayward are actually going to hold back Ian Happ? I mean, Madden's going to move Happ around all over the place, but he's still going to find a way to get him enough at-bats. I don't think Addison Russell is really going to lose enough playing time to warrant, you know, just avoiding him outright in drafts. I mean, listen, he's dropping ADP-wise. He's at the bottom of the barrel. He's really not being sought out by anybody. And I mean, remember when this guy was with the A's a couple of years ago, he was the be-all end-all. I remember when he got traded to the Cubs and everybody was like, holy crap, how's he, you know, the Cubs have like, you know, three of the top shortstops in the game. They had Starlin Castro, Addison Russell, and Javi Baez.
They had Gleyber Torres too at the time.
Gleyber in the system as well. So, I mean, you know, everybody was like all flipped out about that. And now, so my whole article was about those post-hype sleepers, guys who were getting crazy, crazy buzz, and now it's completely died down. People forget that Russell was dealing with some shoulder issues last year. If you look at his first two seasons, you saw a growth from year one to year two. It wasn't, the power increase was huge. The batting average still sucked. But there was positivity you could see in the plate discipline numbers. There was growth from year to year. Then year three, the year that players usually put this together, he dealt with a shoulder problem throughout the season, and it just kind of hindered him in a way that he wasn't able to be as productive or take that next step forward. Now, here we are. Everybody's like, ugh, gross, Addison Russell. I don't want him. Nobody's talking about him at all. But, I mean, again, here's a shortstop whose glove will keep him on the field, who's got 20 home run power, and all he needs to do is pick up the batting average a little bit, show a little bit more patience at the plate, draw a few extra walks. I'm pretty confident that he's going to be able to do it.
I like it. I like the claim on there. And there's some other good ones in there. You write about Peraza, Marte, who we talked about. So I suggest people go check it out. New York Post article from Howard Bender. What else we got, Boggs?
I want to know what your perfect type of draft looks like, Howard. Like, what position are you picking out of? Who are the guys that you're building your power and your speed around? And what are you doing with your pitching staff and closers? What does that look like for you?
Well, if we're talking just a straight 12-team league, ideally so far, I like picking near the tail end of the first round. If I can't have, you know, picks one, two, or three, and I don't even like the second pick, I don't like the assumption that I have to take Jose Altuve.
Mm-hmm.
So I prefer the tail end of that draft, that first round, where I can look through, you know, Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Manny Machado, Freddie Freeman. All those guys are kind of hanging out over there at the back end. So what I usually find myself doing over there is I grab one of those, you know, nice little power hitters, a corner guy, and pair him up with a high end starter. What I've kind of found out now over the last, I don't know, about 2 months or so, I seem to feel nice and comfortable grabbing inside my first six picks. And this is a little deviation from what I usually do, but inside my first six or seven picks, I've got two starters in there.
Okay. I've been doing that too.
Yeah, and I feel comfy with that, you know, grabbing like Sale or Kluber, at the turn there in the second round. And then when it comes back around to me, then I start looking and I'm like, oh, okay, there's Jose Abreu. He's around. Or, oh, crap, nobody took Freddie Freeman. Let me grab him and jump on him. Or then I'll hit the outfielders and I'll pair up and I'll do like Yelich and Benintendi or Justin Upton and Benintendi. And I'll make sure that I focus in on that. So by that end of those first seven rounds, I have like two starters. I have my first baseman. I've got a couple of outfielders. And then it just kind of depends on the way the rest of the draft goes.
How are you balancing your speed? Are you going in the elite territory of trying to get a D. Gordon, a Billy Hamilton, or are you piecemealing, as we like to call it, our term, stuff and things type of players, guys that are going to have power speed combos, maybe like, you know, Yelich would be one of those guys. Buxton might be a little bit more elite. Or are you going maybe that third route where you don't focus on it and you go super late and take VR into Lino to Shields? How are you approaching speed?
I kind of mix it up a little bit because it all depends on those first couple of rounds. I'll take a D Gordon. I don't mind taking a D Gordon, but I'm not going to sit there and, you know, use my second round pick on him. He's been taken a lot, you know, in the beginning of the third round. So if I'm picking around there, well, it just obviously depends on who else is there. What I like to do is I like the guys who you're talking about here, Buxton, who steals some bases, Yelich, who steals some bases. Then you can go late and grab like a Bradley Zimmer, because he's going to steal 20 to 30 bases this year. And then if you're just kind of floating around, you're hanging out in that like 10th, 11th, 12th round, Malik Smith. Is another, you know, high end, you know, he's got the potential to be a high end speed guy, but he's not going to cost you. I mean, who would you rather have, Billy Hamilton or Malik Smith? I think they're both pretty much the same player. I'll take Malik Smith then a little bit later.
A lot bit later.
It makes sense. I mean, a lot of those guys are targets of mine. I throw Manny Margot in there as another one.
Oh, I love him so much.
Yeah, he's dude, it's unreal. And, you know, Howard, we're out here in Arizona. I've spent a little bit over at Peoria, and every time I see him, it just I'm like the little I heart emoji. That's all that I get. That's probably a little too creepy. Speaking of Malik Smith, you got any other late sleepers for us? We talked a little bit earlier about kind of post 200 players that we were focusing on that we both, you know, were kind of primed on, guys like Sin Soo Choo, Odubel Herrera. Malik Smith was one that we talked about. You got some late post, call it 200 pick guys that you're kind of honing in on that you kind of see as sleepers?
Well, they're all kind of catching a little bit of buzz, or maybe I think they're catching a little bit of buzz just because, you know, everybody sees me grabbing them in these mock drafts. I love the fact that everybody's leaving me Jason Kipnis till the 17th round.
Yes.
Yeah.
I love that. Yoshihisa Hirano, your guys' closer of the season, because
no, don't do that to me, Howard. It's gonna be Archie. Don't do the Hirano.
It's not gonna be Archie.
Hirano's looked like garbage in spring.
Hirano's a soft tosser. We saw Hirano a couple weeks ago, and as soon as I saw him, I was like, no way they put this guy as the closer. He looked like a soft tosser. It is 100% gonna be Archie.
He will be at some point your closer, because
that,
what'll
that
happen
sounds
is
sounds like
is
a
that,
bet to me, fellas.
Howard, you want? Oh, should we do right. a Pete bet? A Pete a saves Pete bet?
I can definitely do a saves Pete bet. I will bet you that Hirano leads the Diamondbacks and saves this year.
No. I'm gonna take that bet with Archie Bradley, and then I guarantee you Monday morning they're gonna say Archie Bradley's gonna be the primary setup guy. Okay, I'm going to take that bet. What is the bet? Can we do not 40 Pete?
Bog, do you want a piece of Brad Boxberger in this one?
No, I do not. I am out. I'm paying up on this bet this year. I am out on this one. I say, why don't you guys go up about 3 pieces of garlic for Howard versus 50 peeps for the Welsh?
50? Oh, F off. What are you talking about?
We're doing 40 this year. You should step it up for next year, right?
I'll do 42 for Jackie Robinson. I'll do 42. Maybe
there
that's
you
enough.
Go. And what do what? I do? Like 4 full cloves of garlic plus 2 little chunks?
Yes. Yeah. Set that up. I like
oh my
it.
God.
Ooh, I got an idea. You have to eat 4 peeps with garlic inside the peep.
Ooh, I love that.
So
oh,
it's
really?
Just, that would probably make it easier for him.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Never mind.
He knows how to, you know, work the peeps without having to taste anything, I'm sure, at this point. So it's just flat-out saves. Save totals.
Save totals. There you go.
Is there See, any really buyout well, for injury here? Like if Archie Bradley blows out his arm in week 2, is it
yeah,
now
significant
we're
injury
to,
doesn't count. Significant injury for either one doesn't count.
Yeah, that just wipes the bet out.
Okay.
There's no need for a buyout.
We're doing it all wrong, too. What we should be doing is we should be taking advantage of this scenario. We should be like, this bet, Howard, we have to do it on Sirius XM on your show. That's how you smartly do the whole thing. But okay, so what is the bet? I'm going to eat like
42
like
Jackie
peeps.
Robinson's numbers oh. worth of peeps. You just said 42.
Okay, yeah. And then what's how? But
it's
Howard,
retired,
don't you like
and then you're going to have to retire.
Howard, what do you not like?
What do I not like?
Yeah, dude, is there something? Because I feel like you're kind of embracing the garlic.
who doesn't love garlic? And it's medicinal. It makes me feel good. Tell me what you want. I'll tell you what. I've got a shellfish allergy.
Well,
so I don't. So no, I don't eat any. So I don't eat any seafood at all. So we can just eliminate seafood. If you want to pick something else out, you want me to lick that white dog? I'll lick that white dog.
Maybe that. You know what we'll do? It'll be like lick the dog shit, or you have to have like me on your show for an hour. That'll be my win for you. What? And then you'll clearly do the dog.
You don't eat 4 pieces of garlic on the regular, do you?
No, I don't.
That's still going to be horrible. So
my wife hates garlic, so I limit it, but I love the taste.
So that's about like hot peppers?
Ooh, that's dangerous. Like,
like a ghost pepper.
No, not a ghost pepper. That's too much. But what about?
I don't even know.
What about a habanero? One habanero versus 42 peeps.
All right, done.
Oh, I feel like this is weighted not in my area. This is dangerous. All
right. I'm checking the Scoville scale right now to see where the habanero is. Are we talking about just a regular habanero?
Yeah, just a regular habanero pepper. When I worked at the grocery store, the Welsh, I think you remember this. I used to pay the baggers $5 to eat a habanero pepper because they didn't know how hot it was. And one kid actually said, well, I mean, I feel like I was giving them a life lesson,
one to not trust you.
One kid actually said, how hot can a pepper be?
Oh, well, I mean, you just asked for
last words. Right.
Famous last words. All right. Well, hey, that's perfect. We got a bet to follow this year. That's and were there any more, by the way, any late guys that you wanted? We kind of interrupted with our amazing bet. Were there any other late sleepers?
Tyler Chatwood. Don't sleep on him.
Ooh. Yeah. Didn't he have 8 strikeouts the other day?
9, actually, which was just a fantastic outing there, which, pisses me off that he's looking real good in this spring, because I think that now that he's out of Colorado, he's going to be pitching with a lot more confidence, really attacking the hitters right from the onset and pounding the strike zone a lot more, something that he obviously shied away from when he was in Colorado. So I love him. I love him for this year.
I love it. That is Howard Bender. You can find him on Twitter, obviously, at Roto Buzz Guy, and you can listen to him on SiriusXM 4 to 6 Eastern, Monday through Friday. Can't beat that. And you can find all the great content, not just from Howard, but the entire crew that you've put together, Howard, over at Fantasy Alarm is fantastic. I highly suggest all of their content. And if you should be listening to Howard. Like, I wanted to say, like, if you're in the San Francisco area, you should go meet up at like Todd's place, our bar, and you should buy Howard a drink, because I had a fantastic time at our bar hanging out with Howard. And I wish we could do it again, which we're going to kind of do it here in just a second. It's time for Bogman to pay up. Mm. You might hear some clips depending how it goes. We might have a little reel here for you, but it's definitely going to be on the YouTube channel, youtube.com/inthisleague, as Bogman pays up the bet. Howard, we appreciate your time as always. And are you ready for Bogman to suffer?
Oh, I'm definitely ready. I got to go to the website right now.
Well, little time removed,
It's over.
Behind the curtain. Everyone knows this isn't like directly after Bogman threw up. There's a little bit of time. I had to race to the other studio so we can get Paul on, who's coming on in a second. But Bogman, you didn't look good. Your voice was struggling.
Yeah, my I've never thrown up peeps before, believe it or not. So I didn't realize that the same crunchiness you get on the peep going down is going to also then come back up.
Oh.
So my throat is killing me.
Gross.
Crazy.
Overall, how is your mental state after that?
You know, it's not horrible. I think I was telling this before. I've never like had something where I throw up and I instantly feel better.
Yeah. So I had that when I remember my workout. When I started the workout thing, I ate and then I was an idiot. And 15 minutes later, I worked out. And then after I got working out, I completely threw up and I felt great after.
Right, right. So I'm used to barfing from like either really horrible food poisoning or alcohol.
Drinking. Yeah.
So which, you throw up from alcohol, you feel better.
I'm a little nervous. I'm nervous.
Yeah, I think I'm better at holding down pasta than I am sugar. So, I don't know, man. It's not fun. So
you did good.
If you can make it last throughout the day, I would suggest that, like Howard said. But if you kind of have to do it in one sitting with everybody there, then
on video,
it's going to be rough.
Yeah, it's going to be rough. Well, I'm proud of you. You lived up to it. Howard tweeted out. He was proud of you. I mean, you done good, Bogman. And you had some great, great vomit sounds.
Well, maybe you can make them into a ring.
I mean, they're already going to be better than... Like, I think they might be better. I might start using yours. So there you go, Bogman. That's you.
In This League Overtime. Want more? Go to inthisleague.com.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
In This League Overtime. Want more? Go to inthisleague.com. Here's Bogman and the Welsh.
Let's talk fantasy baseball.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says...
In This League.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In This League.
Oh. All right, we're back. We're back from all the chaos, the madness, which was Scott Bogman throwing up everywhere. It was incredible. It was an incredible moment. But Paul Spohr is on. Speaking of incredible moments... To actually discuss this and discuss more beautiful things, to have on the best in the biz, he is Paul Spohr. Find him on Twitter at Spohr. You can catch him over on the Twitch doing all of his stuff that gets me, infuriatingly gets me locked in for like, I'm just like trying to do my life. And then I see Paul's like, hey, I'm playing a game. And I'm like, oh, I'm going to check that out for a minute. And then like 2 hours later, I'm like, God damn it. But that's what Spohr does. He does the long podcast. He does all the great content. And you get me stuck on video games, dude.
I mean, you see why it's a draw. You know, it's funny watching all the old get off my lawn folks like, oh, Drake playing video games with somebody. This is so irrelevant. And it's just like, listen, you might not like it, but until you actually watch a Twitch stream, shut the hell up about it.
Yeah.
Like, watch one. See, and if you don't like it, that's fine. But the people that claim that that's stupid and they don't like it without ever watching one, it's remarkably
well, I told you, I said I got stuck into like watching you play stupid basketball game, and like it's I'm supposed to be watching Spohr with the baseball at this point. Like I just don't have it. I have a PS3 that I haven't turned on for 3 years. I want to play video games. I have a kid that's probably right in that range, but I'm almost afraid to open up the floodgates of video games and get back into it because I have an obsessive personality, and I'm afraid I'm gonna just go whoom, just fall into it.
I'm more of a Cam Soda guy, so...
Free Cam Soda guy?
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so maybe some free cams, maybe some Cam Soda, you know.
It like, on a level, it is that. It's obviously a different draw.
Right.
You guys both like to live stream, that's for
I
sure.
I mean, it's the same sort of thing of, you know, live streaming your personality, either showing some, you know, potential expertise or at least some sort of quality at video games, or... Using your traction.
Paul, do you take tokens? Whatever. Do you take tokens?
No.
No?
No, people donate straight cash.
Straight cash, homie. That's right. How's the Spohr World Tour going? I swear to God, like you just, there's no rest for the weary for you. You are one of the hardest working dudes out there doing appreciate all the pods that. Like you do. And I see you're just a nice guy. And you, it seems like you say, you know, yes, I'm going to do all the shows, and you make people shows. You make our shows when you do it. And how's that going? You're just doing everything.
I mean, it's a lot of fun. I try to make time when asked, cause I'm always happy to help. And this is a busy time of year, of course. I mean, we're really starting to get into it, and it's great. Obviously we've had draft weekends here these past couple weekends. This one's going to be a huge one, headed to New York tomorrow, very soon.
Are you doing Tout?
Tout, and then the main event on Sunday. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Good. We just caught you. That's okay. That's perfect. I mean, it doesn't help also when you do like 3 or 4 hour podcasts, Paul. But I'm just saying, like, that's the content, though.
Those are fun, though. I'm not going to stop doing that
through a whole day of work. So
that's what I'm saying.
What do you think? Did we even comment on this? What do you think about Bogman eating the peeps?
Oh, it's disgusting.
It's like the worst thing ever.
I don't mind peeps. Like, I don't mind a peep. Like, I feel like a peep, but I'm like, okay, that was good. I got what I needed there.
About 40 of them. You
know, a sugar buzz, but a 40, that's horrific. Like, that is so egregious. I'm sorry you had to go through that. And I feel partly responsible because I'm sure that my love of Masahiro Tanaka didn't
What are you saying, Paul? You want to finish the other 16 peeps that I didn't get to? Or
a singular chance that I made.
The listeners know this, but you don't know this. I made a bet with Howard on the show right at the end before. It was completely natural, too, because he thinks Hirano is going to lead the Diamondbacks in saves, and I think that is just atrocious, and I can't buy into it. I think that's going to be Bradley's job. And if I lose and Hirano has more saves, I have to out-peep-eat Bogman.
Oh, jeez.
I'm a little bit worried after watching the video.
Get yourself roped into this.
I know. What do you think my odds are?
Oh, I mean, they're pretty good. I would think that they're in your favor right now, but, you know, they can go sideways. Bullpens can go sideways there. So it's not as much of an advantage as it should be. You know, if you really just think of it talent-wise, you would think you have a bigger dollar, you know, point spread advantage, however the money line would be in Vegas. But when you really break it down with the craziness of saves, it's pretty close to – well, you have two of the guys, though, right? He only has Hirano.
No, I only have Bradley, and he has Hirano.
Oh, okay. Okay, so Boxberger could just make it a draw.
Yeah, he would just null and void the whole thing, as would a major injury. If a major injury happens, we both agreed if, like, you know, Bradley, you know, tears his UCL or something like
What's major? More than a month?
I would say, yeah, we actually probably should have discussed that. I think, like –
That's a good question. I think a hangnail.
I'm going to say a 7-day DL at this point, but maybe like I say a month to 6 weeks.
I would say a month.
Yeah,
that's pretty difficult to.
And I still do think that if Boxberger comes in and gets more saves than both of them, that doesn't have anything to do with your bet. It's still Bradley versus Hirano. So if Bradley winds up with 5, Hirano gets 2, and Boxberger gets 30, you still win.
Oh, I like that.
I like that, too. You should make sure that's stipulated, though, so that he understands as well and agrees to those terms.
Yeah.
He didn't even remember winning my bet. He won't remember.
No, oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, it was Bogman.
Isn't that better, Paul? That's great.
Well, you can go and watch it at our YouTube.
So did.
YouTube.com/InThisLeague. You can watch Bogman in the suffering.
Did Chris remind him?
No, Bogman did it. Bogman was the one that he...
I'm a man of my word.
He's a man of his word.
That's right.
We pay our debts here. I mean, I will try to avoid it at all costs, but Bogman paid up, and he gave the people what they wanted. No disappointment. So, as you do, Mr. Paul Spohr. And how about this? First question. You can kind of intertwine even a little bit of part of the conversation we're having. I've got a duo conversation for you. A player debate, if you will, just like our book, that you were so kind to take part in. I think I gave you accolades for this last time. I don't know if you've been on since our book. Have you been on since our book was released?
I feel like I might have been, yes.
Okay, because I said it last time, and actually we did a secret show that that just got posted today for the ITL Army, and I gave you kudos in it because I thought it was really cool. One of the things that meant a lot to us was you were single-handedly and easily the first person to you almost instant responded to me saying I am 100% in, and it meant a lot, and I gave you kudos in that episode for the Army, but just giving it to you again that, you know, you're our boy and I appreciate how willing you were, and didn't help the sales, but you hooked us up.
I'm happy to. Hey, like, honestly, first year or something like that, like I didn't even get like anything for the SP guide for the first few years. It was just like one of these things that I was kind of doing, and then people were like, you know, you could sell this, and I was like, well, maybe. And so, yeah, I mean, the fact that you even did any sales, those people, they probably loved it, and they'll tell other people. So it's like one of those snowball things.
Yeah, let's hope so. Exactly. But okay, so duo now, just like the player debates here, give me the better duo, Corey Kluber and Carlos Carrasco or Ninja and Drake on Fortnite.
That's funny. I'm gonna go to the two Cleveland Indians.
Are you sure?
I'll say this, man.
Ninja and Drake were doing business when they were on the solos.
And Ninja obviously can carry quite a bit. He's absolutely ridiculous.
You guys are speaking like a foreign language.
Bogman has no idea what this is. I got roped really into funny. It. I got roped into it. Your boy Juju Smith-Schuster was out there, Bogman. Travis Scott, I think, was. It was Travis Scott and Drake and this dude Ninja. And Kim.com was in there at one point.
I feel like Mark Maron. I'm like, what are these, Pokemon?
Kim.com seems to have set up the meeting, too, based on...
I saw that
he tweeted out. So
it's wild. Hey, and like Logic was out there. Like there,
Logic was saying, let me get in there. Yeah, they were trying to get Yachty. So it was crazy. Hey, I will say this. You know, Ninja, obviously, is this dude. He's streaming. For those that don't know.
Never heard of him before that. Never heard of him in my life before that.
He's just having the most insane moment. He's killing it. Fortnite is the game he plays. And it's just he's having just this insane, insane moment. And it's really cool. And it was really impressive to see him like not even be 1% starstruck by hanging with those guys. You know, they were in his domain. He's unbelievably good at that game. And so I'm sure that helps ease the nerves a little bit. But he was really chill. And it'd be hard not to geek out.
Have you ever seen anything like that, by the way? Sorry, this is not fancy baseball, but I think people listen to Paul, they're going to have some understanding. You ever seen something like that where over 600,000 people were watching this game? I've never seen something like that.
It's the most on Twitch. He's setting records. And I mean, that honestly, like, I don't want to be over the top about it, but that was absolutely monumental for streaming and video games last night.
Like, I mean, Bogman, think about that for a minute, Box. Over 600,000 people were sitting watching this game be played. And I think that
would crash Cam Soda. So
I'm not, you can maybe 60 on yours. But I was watching right as Kim.com was like coming off, and he was like, let's get this to 1 million. And they killed themselves because they had a bunch of like issues getting Juju on, and they were waiting, and people got out. But over 600,000 people, and you had celebrities of different walks going, dude, Carl Anthony Towns.
And I could get one girl in high school to come over and watch me play video games.
No, you're getting.
You believe that?
And you're getting people watching you eat peeps. That's what people want to see.
That's true.
But Carl Anthony Towns was out there talking about like.
He streams.
Yeah, he was like Ninja is better than anybody, and he's on a different level. Like, think of just all the people that were acclimated into one area. Like, I was waiting because Paul, I think you're a big deal in that way. I was waiting for Ninja to bring you on. That's what I wanted to see.
No. But it honestly, it's huge. It has ripples even in our little MLB The Show community. Just that alone, the way it kind of touched across the culture on Twitter and everything. Gets people that have an idea of what you're talking about when you say you stream or you're on Twitch. Like it's permeating. I've seen it now for a little while as more and more athletes start streaming. I mentioned Carl Anthony Towns does. There's a lot of basketball players, football players
Juju.
Of prominence. Not all at, you know, Carl Anthony Towns height, but a lot of like name players. T-Pain also streams, the rapper, and it's a big deal. It's a big deal.
It was actually probably similar to podcast moment with Serial. You know, when Serial came out and legitimized podcasts for a lot of people, that was probably the streaming's version of that. So, okay. Enough of that, obviously.
It was huge.
Bogman's already been nauseous, so he doesn't know what's going on. What about you did mention that, since we did mention Kluber and Carrasco, I found them really interesting, by the way. We had Vlad Sedler on a little while back, and Vlad had mentioned that he said on the show that Carrasco would finish higher than Kluber this season. So what do you think just about the duo, just since we brought them up, even though that was definitely more about Ninja and Drake?
Yeah, I mean, that's really going to just depend. That's just going to be a health play there. And I think most of us favor Kluber on that end just because he's shown that he can hold up for the 200 multiple times, 4 years running, whereas Carrasco got his first just last year, and it was 200 on the dot. So I think that's really what it boils down to. But saying that is not crazy. You're just saying, hey, I'm rolling the dice on a Kluber injury and Carrasco staying healthy, and then it can easily happen.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you. Just on.
What about Greinke? We asked Howard to. The Greinke news came down. You know, his Wednesday started. He left because of the groin injury. We've seen the velocity dip, but he had the velocity dip last season, And, you know, 17-7, that's another bet I would have lost with the help of Paul's score, because the gut feeling was that Greinke wasn't going to be very good. That might have been the year before, though. I might be getting my Greinke years mixed up.
I was off his first year.
And he wasn't last that year. Great.
Yeah. Right. And of the first year of the deal. And then last year, he started to become a value because people jumped way too far down. And it was like, well, why not take a shot to see? I'm wondering if Cole Hamels is that this year. I wonder. I don't know. I'm tentative on it. It is not a firm, like,
give me
plant
a couple
the flag
shares
at the ground. But I think I want to take a shot. Yep. I don't know.
Me
I just
with
love
you.
Cole Hamels.
I'm right there with you. Dude, do
but
you think that, oh, yeah, sorry, go ahead.
Now that Greinke has this velocity thing and the groin injury, he's going to slip in drafts that are happening this weekend and next weekend because he's probably going to miss opening day. Do you think he's going to become a value at this point?
I mean, it's certainly possible, depending on where he falls. I think he had looked pretty good with the velocity and everything prior to the injury in that most recent start for Greinke. So that's going to kind of mitigate it. I do think he is going to fall. There's going to be rooms where there's believers, but I guess that's kind of stating the obvious because there's always going to be different rooms. But I think for the by and large, he will fall a little bit. And if you're talking about getting Greinke, I don't know, pick 65 or later, I think I'm really starting to jump at that point.
I'm with you on that.
Kind of tracking at 50 overall, and I'm usually saying, you know what, I'll take Martinez or Archer or Nola, Quintana or Cole or Paxton, all guys that are going behind him. But if he starts to fall down toward them, I jump back in. Like, I'm not too concerned on the velocity. I'm a little bit more concerned on the hamstring.
Right. I've mentioned this a couple times, and just we're going kind of themey here with what we talked about. But I mentioned to Howard and Bogman, I talked about it, that Greinke's just such an anomaly where, you know, we have been predominantly kind of hit with the humidor conversation all offseason. And once it came down, you know, obviously it's honed in on hitters, and there's a whole take there. But, you know, pitchers presumably all take the positive. Everyone likes Robbie Ray more. Taiwan Walker gets a boost here. But Greinke, to me, is the one anomaly where you would take, like, if you took a healthy, good Greinke from last year and you put the humidor in, I think people are going to boost him up a couple notches higher, like in that 40 range. Like, you might be comfortable taking him around the DeGrom Severino type of area. I'm just theoretically talking. But you got that humidor, and then you add the injury stuff in, and it's almost like they're all counteracting each other, and people don't know what to do. And when the humidor is this thing that everyone's saying, hey, this is going to benefit all the pitchers.
This was In This League Overtime. Some of the best from the In This League podcasts. Looking for more? Visit InThisLeague.com right now.